They say that crisis reveals character, and for a brief moment, the pandemic revealed surprising financial resilience. Hi, I'm Rob West. During that season, many Americans experienced a rare financial reset as savings rose and debt declined. But 5 years later, much of that progress has unraveled. Dr. Shane Enett joins us to unpack what changed and how believers can respond faithfully in a culture gripped by renewed financial anxiety. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, my guest today is Dr. Shane Enett, Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and founder of the Biola Center for Financial Planning. He's a good friend. He's a regular contributor, and I'm delighted he's here today to offer both insight and encouragement. Shane, great to have you back with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Shane, in the latest issue of our quarterly magazine, Faithful Steward, you've written a compelling piece on the state of America's finances. Interestingly, you opened by noting that the pandemic was, for many households, a time of unexpected financial progress. Let's start there. What were some of the positive shifts we saw during that season?
Sure. So some of the studies that came out, kind of looking back and looking at what happened financially during the pandemic, showed lots of positive trends. So the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, they studied credit card spending and credit card balances, and they saw that Americans reduced both dramatically during the pandemic time. And another study by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, they looked at each pandemic stimulus check, and they found that each check, you know, there was three different ones, and for each one, people were reducing their credit card payments, reducing their credit card balances, and for every check that came, the next check had a bigger increase in credit card debt. And so people were using the pandemic to both reduce their credit card balances, reduce their credit card spending. And then we also saw that emergency fund levels, while credit card payments were going down, credit card spending was going down, emergency fund levels were going up, and they were up materially during the time of the pandemic. And a study by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saw that emergency fund levels were at peak levels when you study kind of the past two decades.
Yeah. So not only were we spending less and had more margin because we were stuck at home and, we were not out spending like we normally would, but also good decision making in the wake of perhaps some of the uncertainty and even some of the concern. There was a drop in debt, an increase in savings. So that was certainly encouraging. But now, Shane, it seems much of that financial progress is gone. What do the numbers tell us about where things stand today?
It's not looking good. So we just reached the $1 trillion mark in credit card spending and credit card balance. And really, you can look at the moment people's behavior switched back to old habits, and it's during the second quarter of 2021. And if you kind of look at the case study of COVID, it's the point when everyone started to get very hopeful. Yeah. And the cases dropped. That's actually coincided with an increase in credit card spending. And so you saw kind of old habits start with credit cards. You saw, now currently we're in a situation where 6 in 10 U.S. adults say that they're uncomfortable with their level of emergency savings. And we also see a situation where we're at historic highs in terms of poor financial well-being, according to the CFPB's 2024 Making Ends Meet survey. So our financial well-being is low, our emergency savings are low, and our credit card debt is high. And we're basically back to where we were before the pandemic.
Yeah, that is discouraging. Shane, just about 30 seconds until our break. Talk about this score, this well-being score. What exactly is that?
You know, this score reflects the confidence in a household's ability to pay bills and put food on their table. And so the average has fallen from 55 to 49. So it has gone quite a bit lower from pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah, well, that's really discouraging. Well, when we come back, we'll continue to unpack the data, what's going on right now, and we'll apply that to your role as a steward of God's resources and talk about, as Christ followers, what we can do differently than the world. Shane Enat here today talking about how American consumers appear to have slipped back into old financial habits. We'll have much more with him after this break, and then following this interview, it'll be time for your questions. So go ahead and call right now, 800-525-7000, or you can always email us your question at askrob@faithfi.com. Be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Young people have countless voices competing for their attention. That's why godly influences, parents, grandparents, mentors are so important. A word of encouragement, a consistent example, faithful prayer. These can plant seeds that grow into strong faith later. Paul recognized this in Timothy's past. In 2 Timothy, he wrote, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy didn't just stumble into the faith. God used his family to raise up this future pastor. So think about this. How might the Lord want to use you in the life of a young person today? Try out Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We saw some incredible progress during the COVID pandemic with regard to financial habits. Unfortunately, a lot of that is gone. Shane Enat here today. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. So glad to have you along with us. Dr. Shane Enat is Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and founder of the Biola Center for Financial Planning. He's our resident researcher, if you will, and today looking at, unfortunately, some discouraging data. Shane, for those just joining us, give us a quick snapshot of where we were during the pandemic and where we now find ourselves today.
You know, before, or at least during the pandemic, there was a bit of a boost financially. People felt better about their finances. They paid down their credit card debt. They had an increase in emergency savings. And so there was some good momentum. But then once the pandemic really started to release and people started to feel better, then things got a little bit dicey and things continued to kind of fall from where they were. And we're to a place now where 6 in 10 adults feel uneasy about their level of emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And you know, before the pandemic, it was 37%. So we've gone from, you know, 37% to 60%. And so we're kind of moving towards a place of less financial margin.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And as you mentioned before the break, we now have eclipsed $1 trillion owed on credit cards. To take that a step further, more than one in three Americans now carry more credit card debt than they have set aside in emergency savings. What does that tell us about their financial stability and priority, Shane?
So it just means, you know, that they're spending more than they're earning, that they've kind of locked themselves into a lifestyle that is not sustainable. And without margin, there's just going to be a cycle of debt, and they're going to be put into a place where they can't make progress. And in fact, they're mortgaging their future for a present lifestyle that's not sustainable. And yeah, it's going to make things hard in the future for them.
Yeah, it's going to make things hard because everything is tight right now. But if we have an unexpected disruption or a loss of income, we're in a really precarious situation. I know in the data it says that Americans literally can't afford to lose income for even a month. That's a pretty widespread condition right now, isn't it?
Yeah, the studies show that 42% say they couldn't absorb a month of lost income. And that's up from 37% just a few years ago. So things are getting to a place where there's no margin. And, you know, one in four Americans have no emergency funds. And what happens when you have no kind of emergency fund, when you can't absorb a lost income, then you get into debt. And debt is a type of slavery that we're meant to avoid. We're meant to kind of show the world that we're free.
Yes, that's exactly right. We talk about those principles found in God's word that really should govern how we handle our finances. They're simple, not easy, but simple. Spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, set long-term goals, because the longer term your perspective, the better your decision today. Have some margin and give generously. So we certainly need to be doing those. But Shane, it really starts with, and I appreciate this so much about your teaching, a proper understanding of our role as a steward of God's resources. You mentioned that when Christians face financial uncertainty, our first response should be to look to Jesus. How does that perspective shape the way we think about money and actually handle our finances day to day?
You know, if Jesus isn't present and if we don't take his word seriously, then we see this fear, this anxiety around providing for ourselves, and it's real, and we will take on full financial responsibility. And that's a burden that we were never meant to bear fully. And instead, we should take very seriously how Christ talked about the Father. He said, we have a good Father. And he also said, we have, you know, our Father is like a good shepherd. And in both cases, they provide, you know, they provide for their children, they provide for their flock. And I think with that perspective, with that foundation, then we can not have to bear full financial responsibility. And we can lean in on Jesus's promises, and that actually equips us to then become a better steward, to make behaviors become less consumptive, become less debt prone, because we'll start to engage all of the resources from the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Yeah, I love what you've taught us in the past, Shane, about really making budgeting a worshipful experience. And that's a foreign concept for a lot of people. They hear the word budget and they think, oh boy, I don't want to go there. But you talk about it in a completely different way, where it actually can be a way to worship, to celebrate God's provision. How should we look differently at this idea of spending within God's provision?
So there's an attitude about receiving. And so if we think of ourselves as steward, then we can see the moment that God's providing our daily bread, the moment that God is providing our utilities, our gasoline for transportation, our shelter, as we track and as we budget, that's the moment we get to be grateful. That's the moment we get to declare God's goodness, and we get to see evidence that God is providing, even when things don't seem like they're going to be good going forward. There is a moment where we get to just say, here is where God has provided my clothing, my, you know, everything that I'm budgeting, everything that I'm tracking is God's provision, and he's promised to keep taking care of us. Yeah. And it may not be the same way that we're hoping, but it is a way that's good. And so budgeting is that moment we get to just open a conversation with the Lord and see how he's providing, and also bring our concerns and our cares to him, mm-hmm. and have him fill us up with his love and his peace.
Shane, what is the next step? If somebody's listening today saying, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want for my life. I just don't know where I go from here. How would you direct them in terms of getting started and building out that plan in that way?
So don't be alone. I think one of the things you want to do is open a line of communication with the Lord through a budgeting app, you know, like Faithfi app. And once you start tracking, you want to shine a light bright on your financial behavior and just keep track of what you're doing. Don't try and change it, but just keep track. And, you know, Ephesians says what you shine a light bright on becomes a light. And so as you're spending, as you shine a light bright, your spending will become a light. And then that's, you get to bring before the Lord and he can start to move you and shape you. And that really is a great first step, because just tracking is a very simple activity. You'll start acting like a steward, and really you're going to start to behave more like Christ, which will be countercultural, because you won't be caught up in materialism. You won't be caught up in a debt lifestyle, because you're going to be wanting to show off, you know, living within your means and show off kind of what it looks like to be free from debt and to be living in a way that's blessing others. And generosity requires a budget, because you have to live within your means to have extra to share with others.
I love that. Let's finish with that idea. You know, our friend Ron Blue said money is a tool, a test, and a testimony. And you were hitting on that testimony aspect. How can Christians who live out biblical stewardship serve as that shining city on a hill and reflect God's kingdom to the world around them?
You know, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit we forget about is self-control. And I think when believers are financially responsible, they're modeling a beautiful trait of the Holy Spirit, which is that they are able to show off a type of self-control, a lack of, you know, living beyond their means. They're just acting in a way that's admirable. And they're also taking God's stuff and they're spending it and saving it and giving it responsibly and sustainably. And I think that's going to be a light to the world, so that they can see something that's good that they would want to chase after as well.
That's incredible. We're going to have to leave it there. Shane, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Shane Enad. He's Associate Professor of Finance at Biola University and founder of the Biola Center for Financial Planning. The article we've been discussing is featured in the latest edition of Faithful Steward, our quarterly magazine. If you'd like to receive each issue, just become a Faithfi partner at faithfi.com. Up next, your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its task of fulfilling the Great Commission. AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
AFA is a listener-supported ministry, and one very popular way to help us fulfill the Great Commission is through the AFA Foundation. You may know about things like charitable gift annuities, bequests, trusts, and wills, but even if you don't, AFA Foundation will not only provide in-depth answers to your questions, we'll even help you set everything up so you can leave a legacy that lasts for generations. Get started today at afafoundation.net. afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. As you can tell, voice still a little scratchy today, but I'm here ready to go. And hopefully by next week, especially after the holiday weekend, I'll be back in the saddle feeling good and voice at full strength. But today, I'm here and looking forward to taking your calls and questions. That number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You can call right now. We've got some lines open. We're going to jump into those calls here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, the one big, beautiful budget bill is on its way to the Senate today, having squeaked through the House yesterday by a single vote. The promises are tax relief for seniors, but some observers are asking, does it truly deliver on the long-awaited promise of no taxes on Social Security? We've certainly gotten a number of questions on that here on this program. The House bill, officially known as H.R. 1, includes provisions aimed at reducing taxes for seniors, particularly those receiving Social Security benefits. Now, while the bill does not directly eliminate taxes on Social Security, it does introduce what's called an enhanced deduction for seniors, offering additional tax relief to low and middle income seniors. The bill increases the standard deduction for individuals age 65 and older by up to $4,000, effective from 2025 to 2028. The extra deduction is reduced for married couples filing jointly with a modified adjusted gross income of $150,000 or more, and for individuals earning over $75,000. The goal here is to lower tax liabilities, but put more money in the pocket of seniors, and that aligns with the promises to ease their financial burden. Now, all this remains to be seen in terms of what the Senate is going to do with it. It will no doubt experience further debate, and its fate will ultimately be decided there. So we will watch it closely, but wanted to give you an update on that. All right, let's dive into your questions today. The lines are open, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Georgia. RB, how can I help?
Hey, good morning. Yes, I've got a question. I'm trying to figure out the right balance of tithing, giving to charity, and then saving for my future, which kind of rolls into when I should retire, which I don't believe you retire. I think you retire to something, not from something. I'll be 63 tomorrow, and I'm totally debt-free. I'm single, no dependents. I own my own home. I own a piece of land up in the upstate that used to be my great-grandfather's farm that I lease to somebody right now, and probably going to subdivide that when the lease is up. And the guy doing he grows little trees on it, and he'll help me do that, the legwork for that, because it's a couple hundred miles away from where I am in South Carolina. But I'm just trying to figure out, I am tithing my income. I've been blessed with a very, very good job of late. I've been working on the military bases on and off since 2002. And I've done a lot of things in between, took a little sabbatical in 2021. And this job that I'm on currently is going to end in a couple of months. Don't know what the Lord has in store for me after that, but this one just fell in my lap. I didn't even apply for it. It just came around. And just trying to figure out, I love giving to like Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, or yes, Samaritan's Purse. And I envision doing some charitable work for one of those organizations or something likened to that once I get where I'm free and clear to be able to do pick when I want to work and when I want to do some charitable work. So
yes.
I'm just trying to figure out where the balance is.
And, yes.
I know that you don't just automatically just pop into retirement. Those are two things I want to do. And I want to do some traveling because I've never been out of the South but about twice in my life.
Yes.
And I want to do all three of those, what I kind of picture as my quote retirement unquote. But,
yes.
Anyway.
Very good. Well, it's a great question, and I love what you're thinking about here. And it really does come down to this idea, RB, and I completely agree with everything you're saying about God's design for us to be productive and to be workers and to use that to, create human flourishing. And, God was a worker and we were created in his image, and he creates out of nothing. We take and create out of the latent potential of his creation and become co-creators with God. And that's the way we can serve and love others and, promote human flourishing. So that's great. And I think you're right in terms of what God has entrusted to you. You've been a wise steward of that. You've held it loosely. You've given it generously. You've heeded the counsel of Scripture by paying off debt and putting yourself in a position where now you have the ability to be flexible, to follow the leading of the Lord and whatever he might have as a next assignment for you. And so I'm delighted to hear all of that. I think the next step here is what we would call a financial finish line. It's really answering the question, how much is enough? And that's what you're getting at. Do you need to continue to save for the future? Have you already reached your finish line? And therefore, you might be in a position to be able to give even more. And that's really, I think, the opportunity is to think about both the lifestyle finish line, which, it could be essentially where you prioritize, your lifestyle spending by reflecting on how God is working in and through you, review your expenses from the last few months, identify spending areas that maybe are distracting you from God's greater purpose, and then put a cap on that lifestyle spending and say, listen, I'm not going to go over this. And obviously you can revisit that periodically, but it's a great way for you to say, now everything above that, I'm then free to either continue to save or to give it away. And that leads to the second finish line, which is really about accumulation. It's a net worth finish line. And, that can be done in concert with a Christian financial advisor who might look at what your spending needs are, what guaranteed income sources you have, what an appropriate amount of assets would be applicable to the income you need to generate alongside, let's say, Social Security and other income sources, and then cap it at that number, whatever it is, which may mean that you're already there. And now anything above that, either in terms of additional income or existing assets, can be given away. And that's the beauty of having that finish line that's really thought through from a financial standpoint, from a heart standpoint, and in prayer with the Lord. Let's do this. I'm going to take a break. I want to get your thoughts on all this after that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, staff writer Matthew White joins us to talk about Memorial Day and the estimated 1.1 million fallen soldiers we remember.
But the number is really much, much greater than that, because that doesn't take into account the spouses, the children, the families that are left to live the rest of their lives with that loss.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust? Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. I know I don't sound like myself today. My voice is gone, but making it through the end of the weekend and then looking forward to getting it back to full strength. I feel great, just don't sound great. Hey, before the break, we were talking to RB, and he is trying to figure out the wise balance between giving beyond the tithe and saving for the future, essentially what we'd call a finish line. And RB, I'd love your thoughts on this because, you know, when we talk about a net worth finish line, this is basically a maximum limit on the total assets you're willing to keep in your name and is a direct counter to what we might call the bigger barns mentality of the rich fool in Luke 12. And it really is comprised of your lifestyle finish line. So how much is the max you want to spend on your lifestyle spending, which really drives how much you need in the way of assets to be able to fund that. Your wealth transfer component, which is how much you want to leave to any heirs. And then number three would be a conservative margin. The future is never certain, and it can be wise to plan for the worst. I think the problem is many people plan far more margin than they could ever need, and they do it out of fear. And I think that's where there's a prayer element and a wrestling through that so that you don't hold back too much that could be going into the kingdom right now. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I listened to one of the advisors there about how to find a Christian financial advisor. That was the biggest question I had, and I answered one of the ad that I heard just a moment ago about that. I am going to seek that as far as finding the financial finish line. I know that if I made some lifestyle adjustments, like selling my farm, if you will, I could retire now to what I'm telling you what I aspire to do. And I know there's some adjustments that you have to make when you get older. I just got done mowing the grass. And when you're 80 years old, you don't necessarily want to do
that anymore. Yes, sir.
I don't want to do it now at 63. But anyway, I like what all you're saying. And I've been listening to your program all the way back. I actually spoke to the late Larry Burkett years ago.
Oh, wow.
So
very good.
That, and I've been through the Financial Peace University thing about four times, and
yes, sir.
Dave is a little on the extreme with that, but I'm not quite as extreme as he is, but he's got a point for some people who really aren't very financially responsible about cutting up the credit cards and that kind of thing like
that's
that.
That's right.
But I think I like what all you're saying, your guidelines. I've told people this, both in Christian circles and non-Christian circles, I am very frugal. But I believe that you can be very frugal and you can also be generous at the same time.
Yes.
And I just love the way God has blessed me of late. Just for instance, I had my refrigerator's knocking out on me, and I found one through an online website for next to nothing. And I don't like to buy anything unless I can get a really good deal on it. And so I'm like I said, I try to be frugal, but just to find that balance, I think a good Christian financial advisor can help me figure that out.
Yes.
That said, I tell you, I've been working on a military basis. I want to give up that line of work. It's a little stressful because it pays very, very well, but I'm not trying to shoot to go retire and go play golf. I don't even play golf or,
yes,
or something like that the rest of my life. I do want to be busy. I want to be active with my church, doing some kind of charitable work. Like I've mentioned, a little bit of traveling because I haven't done much of that in my lifetime. And then, yeah, I do need to kind of figure out after I'm gone, it all belongs to God. So I want it to go wherever He wants it to go. If you
yes, sir.
I know you understand that.
I sure
and,
do.
Yeah, I've got some heirs. I've got some nieces and nephews, and I've said that, you know, if you do this responsibly, I'm going to help you out. If you're not
yes.
going, you know, I believe in a hand up, not a hand out. If
yes,
you
sir. I do.
And I've got one just started college, and I helped him out getting some things going with that. And he's actually playing football at a small college in South Carolina.
That's great. Yes,
and,
sir.
And then, but.
Excellent.
I like what all you said.
Well, and what you're saying, RB, is music to my ears, because it really does align with, I think, my heart and more importantly, God's teaching on how we're to see our role as stewards and managing His money. A couple of thoughts, and I'll let you go. And I know Patricia and Tina are waiting, but I will say, number one, you know, the way I read Scripture, it's not just about, although these are good things, it's not just about frugality and generosity. I think it's clear that money is also for our enjoyment in Ecclesiastes and 1 Timothy. I think God smiles on us when we're in moments of joyful celebration and we use money as a tool to deepen relationships and celebrate. And I think we see that clearly in Scripture. So it's all about the tension, RB, of living, you know, in constant prayer and asking, Lord, what would you have me to do? Recognizing, yes, there's an element of frugality that comes with wise stewardship. Clearly, we're to be generous. God is the ultimate giver. And so I think we're most like Him when we're giving. But I think there's also an enjoyment factor. And it's about finding God's heart in the midst of all of that. And there's not a right or wrong answer. And I think that's a good thing, because we work out our faith, in a sense, through our money management decisions. So that's number one. Number two is, I totally agree about a Christian financial advisor, and that's why you hear me talk all the time about a certified kingdom advisor. These are men and women who really understand the counsel of Scripture and can help you work through things like, what is my finish line? Understanding that it's not just a math equation, it's much bigger than that, and it has a lot to do with your relationship with the Lord and what He's leading you to do. And then finally, I'd like to send you a copy of our latest magazine, Faithful Steward. There's two articles in there that I want you to read. One is called Finding an Uncommon Retirement. I think it will be an encouragement to you in this season as you're thinking about it. And then there's a second one on setting a finish line. And I think between the two of those, you'll be really encouraged by what you see there in our magazine. So if you stay on the line, we'll send that to you as our gift. And I'm delighted to have you on the program today, sir. And call anytime. God bless you. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Patricia. How can I help?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is what does it mean? My husband, we got married and he already had a home, and the interest rate is really good, and he wants to put my name on it, but we know if we refinance it, it would, you know, he can put my name on it, but his interest rate is really good considering what's going on with the interest rates now, so we wanted to wait. But we was told that he could put my name on a deed.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I want to know what does that mean, and yes. what would be the process to do that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So being added to the deed means you have legal ownership of the home, even if you're not on the mortgage. So you're not financially liable for the loan, the mortgage, but you do have a claim to the property when you're added to the deed, which means if the home is sold or your husband passes away, your name on the deed gives you legal rights to your share of the home. But by not being added to the mortgage, and I would agree, with a great interest rate, we don't want to replace that mortgage. It just means, even though you have a legal ownership and a right to the home, you're not financially liable for the mortgage because your name is not a party to that mortgage. And in terms of how you would do that, you'd probably just want to visit with a real estate attorney who could do something called a quick claim deed, where your husband would relinquish essentially 50% ownership and add you to that deed. So it would be retitled in both of your names, perhaps with a right of survivorship.
Okay. So, so if something happened to him, I could be, I can continue the payments and all that process.
Yes, no, and a lot of that will come down to the state that you're in and how they handle that, whether it's you know, community property or not. You may have a title, a right to it anyway, but it would be better for your name to be on the deed, in my opinion. So I'd just visit with a real estate attorney to get that done. Tricia, thanks for your call. Tina, coming your way after the break. Stay with us.
How can we experience more of God's power and presence in our lives? And how can we live in a way that's pleasing to God while living in a world that's hostile toward Christian values? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress addresses these pressing questions in the conclusion of his series, Unleashed. Join us for Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before we head to Jerry Boyer, our resident economist who's here in this segment, let's head to the phones. Tina has been waiting patiently in Texas. Tina, how can I help you?
Hi. I help my elderly father with his finances, and we received a strange letter. It was from a legal person, and it was from a company called Robert Meaton Solicitors. But basically what the letter said is they had done research, and my dad is entitled to millions of dollars, and they said that it would be split 50-50 with him, and they left an email and a phone number. And I don't know, my dad has been scammed before, and I just wondered if you had heard of a company called Robert Meaton Solicitors. They said they had done research and he's entitled to this. It's in some kind of cash deposit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost certainly a scam, Tina. Scammers often impersonate law firms. And this is a typical strategy where they claim you're entitled to a large inheritance from a distant relative and offer to split the money with you. It's designed to trick you into providing personal information or paying upfront fees, and legitimate inheritances never require payment to claim funds. So, you know, if it were me, I would just disregard it and avoid any contact with the seller or the sender. If you wanted to take some steps to check it out, you could search the law firm. I'm not certainly not familiar with that name, but you could use an official legal directory or a bar association website. You could contact your state attorney general, and they can tell you if others have reported similar scams. You could ask a trusted attorney if you have a friend or a family member, a local attorney who could help you assess the situation. But from my perspective, it's most certainly a scam.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate the information.
All right, Tina. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. Well, here in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer's here. And good news is my voice is fading quickly, and I'm going to let just Jerry take the floor. And usually he accommodates pretty well if I let him run. So, Jerry,
yeah,
good morning.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. I'll go on. I'll drone on and on in your voice. That was an interesting last call. By the way, my Nigerian prince is okay, though, right? I mean, he's
yeah,
legit.
For sure, yeah. Yeah. You're still waiting for that check, aren't you?
Yes, I keep depositing pounds sterling, and boy, it's been my payout is growing. Oh, it's really amazing what people do. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, especially when they prey on the elderly. I mean, our priest, told me that someone from his congregation brought something like that to him, and he wrote back to that person with not personal information. He said, "I'm a priest, and you're cursed for doing this until you repent." So you go live with that from now on. So he brought out the spiritual big guns on that one. But it's a cursed thing to rip people off like that.
Jesus really talks
about, honor your father and your mother and Korban and all the rest of it. All right. So, yeah, in the markets, markets are down today. They were doing pretty well. And that is triggered essentially to the moment that President Trump tweeted out, a threat to have broad tariffs against Europe and to put a 25% tariff on Apple until they make all of their iPhones in the United States of America. As far as I understand, Apple doesn't make any iPhones in the United States of America. So to bring iPhone manufacturing to the United States is essentially to completely restructure their operations.
Yes.
It's a 100% move. They do a lot in China. That is a problem. I agree with the president on that. They've been moving more towards India on the premise that, well, India is not a geopolitical enemy. China is. And the president is saying, no, India doesn't do it either. You have to do it here. It would take, 7, 8, 9 years to make significant changes, and probably they would never get to 100% construction here. And of course, there's the problem of, I just saw a report, we have a shortage of Americans who are taking factory jobs. Americans generally don't want factory jobs. Sometimes they do, because some of them are really high paying. But like that kind of low value manufacturing work that you see with iPhones, not the manufacturer of the chips, which is super high value, but like clicking parts into place on an iPhone, it's pretty menial labor. It's pretty low wage labor. And Americans aren't really interested in doing that. So this is another area where what's the president doing? Is this just a position he's taking but isn't what he really believes? And then next week he's going to say, oh, no, it's okay. I talked to the president of Apple and we're working it out. It's creating a tremendous amount of uncertainty. Doesn't seem like good leadership to me. If I were the president, I would put all the energy into the big, beautiful bill because that's the tax cut agenda.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's through the House now, and now it's going to the Senate. So if I were the president, I would use my Twitter budget exclusively for getting the Senate to support the tax cuts that we need to grow. And one of the things that really needs to be in the final bill, if you really want to have high-value manufacturing here in the United States, it should be mostly carrot, not mostly stick. And the carrot is, right now, if you build a factory in the United States, let's say, and it's expected to be in operation for the next 30 years, you don't get to deduct the cost of that factory when you spend the money. You have to do something called depreciation, which is you get to deduct on your taxes 1/30th of the cost of the factory each year for the next 30 years. I used to do this when I was a tax accountant. I ran, depreciation schedules for large companies. So you have to wait 30 years to get the full tax benefit, even though you spent the money up front. That's a crazy idea. When you spend the money is when you ought to get the tax deduction. And if we did that, that would do so much more for American manufacturing than tweeting on again, off again, tax hike threats if you don't manufacture here. Then we're leaving it up to the company and to the American workers. We're not saying just arbitrarily bring a certain number of jobs here, even though many of them might not really be very good jobs. Instead, we're saying make this a place where people really want to manufacture, And the jobs that are high paying and high skill, which is where Americans have always excelled, we've never been able to compete with the third world on stitching sneakers. And thank God for that, because yes, it means we're a high wage economy. Then those jobs that Americans are willing to take that pay enough, that require the skill, that make them worth that pay, that's the kind of manufacturing we'll get, rather than just an arbitrary number of jobs. So I really think that, and by the way, the markets reacted today. They're down. What's down the most is growth stocks, tech stocks. What's also down is the dollar, because every time that we cut off trade with the world, we cut off their desire to use dollars. They use, if we're not transacting with them, what are the dollars for? Well, yes, why would we be a reserve currency? We're a reserve currency because most of the trade in the world is with the United States, and dollars are used for that. But if we're not that anymore, then what foreigners are going to do is say, we don't need dollars anymore, and they're going to dump the dollars on the market, and the dollar will go down in value even more. And that could be a hyperinflationary or at least a high inflationary event if we lose our reserve currency status. Gold is up. That's a hedge against the debt crisis. And Bitcoin is up, another hedge against debt crisis. Now, part of that is the big, beautiful bill has a lot of spending in it. Yeah. It's not cutting the spending and the debt like I would want. I can live with that. If we get the tax cuts, you can grow, like the late Jack Kemp used to say, you can actually kind of grow your way out of the debt a little bit. We need serious spending cuts, but we're never going to deal with our debt problem by slowing our economy down. So if we're in a recession right now, and I'd say there's a better than 50% chance that we're in a recession right now, and that's due to the trade war, recessions always explode the national debt. Because if we're doing less economic activity, less profit, less income, there's less tax revenues coming in. And tax revenues, income tax revenues, business tax revenues have been dropping this year. The debt is increasing, despite what DOGE is doing. The DOGE cutting can't keep up with the falling tax revenues in a recession. And that's where we are.
Yeah. Jerry, you touched on the big, beautiful bill, and obviously I know Kevin Hassett was out this week saying, listen, the debt, the implications of the debt in the future based on the spending that's in this bill is not going to be dependent upon a 1.8% growth rate, which is what they're projecting, but we can get that up higher. I mean, do you think it's possible to see mid to high 2 growth rates that is so essential to actually get the debt coming down?
Yes, but not mid to high 3 or 4. Because if you abort 70 million people, you just cannot grow at that kind of post-war, 4% historic American 3.5 to 4%. So we can beat the new normal of 1.6 or 1.8% with pro-growth policies. And AI, I think, can be a really pro-growth thing for us as well. And a lot more, energy dominance, all of that helps. So how do you grow the economy? Two things. The economy is people. We keep thinking like the economy is a thing, but it's people. It's human beings made in the image of God. So how do you grow the economy? People have to have the incentive to be more productive, which is partly you don't punish them with high taxes when they're productive. Yes. So that's important. Also, you need a work ethic. You need them to want to be productive. You need a culture that says, get off the couch, put down the video game console, get back to work. And we don't have a culture like that right now. And then the other thing is you need to actually have the people. See, if you're changing the incentives towards pro-growth, but those incentives don't work on the 70 million people who were aborted. They're not here. They're in heaven, right? They're not part of they're yes. part of God's economy. They're not part of the economy here. So there's a limit on what we can do. Of course, unless we allow mass immigration, which is definitely not in the cards politically. So I know Kevin, a longtime, really brilliant economist. I think he's right. I think we can get up to that 2.5, maybe even 3% type growth rates, which are below the historic average, because you have, in order to have really strong growth, you have to have more people and those people getting more productive every year. Yes. And I think we can get more productive, but it's a demographic loss of a generation with what happened after Roe versus Wade.
Well said, Jerry. It's very helpful. We appreciate your time. As always, we're going to have to leave it there. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. I'm Rob West. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.